You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is continuous coverage in the trial of Brian Walsh from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Thank you, Your Honor. Try not to drop them all. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name for the record and spell your last name?
Matthew Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N.
And where do you work, sir?
At the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab.
And what is your role there?
I am a Forensic Scientist 3 in the Crime Scene Response and Criminalistics Units.
And how long have you been with the crime lab?
Just over 12 years.
And where did you go to school, sir?
The University of New Haven.
And what degree do you have?
I have a Bachelor's of Science degree in Forensic Science with a concentration in chemistry.
And can you detail your history at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab?
I was originally hired in September of 2013 as a Forensic Scientist 1, which is mainly a training position. The following year in 2014, I was promoted to an FS2, which is a full-time caseworking analyst. For a period of about 6 months in the year of 2022, I was acting crime scene supervisor. And following that, I was promoted to criminalistic supervisor in November of 2024.
And what's the difference between a criminalist and a crime scene, the criminalistics unit and the crime scene response unit?
The crime scene response unit is any work that is done outside of a lab at a particular crime scene, while a criminalist in the criminalistics unit will examine everything inside of a lab in a controlled setting.
And you are familiar with competency testing and proficiency testing, correct?
Yes.
And have you taken both of those types of tests?
I have.
And have you passed those tests?
Yes.
And have you ever testified before giving your opinion concerning evidence collection and forensic analysis of evidence?
Yes, I have.
Approximately how many times?
50 to 60 times.
Where did you respond on January 8th of 2023 at approximately 8:52 a.m.?
It was around 8:45 a.m.
8:45 a.m.
It was 516 Chief Justice Cushing Highway in Cohasset.
And how many floors are in that home?
There's three floors, two livable, an attic, as well as a basement.
And what was your role at that home?
Now, I was assigned to the crime scene response unit, so I was dedicated to looking for and testing for biological material.
So let's talk about that. What is biological material? What kinds of things are you looking for?
In this particular case, I was looking for blood.
Are you looking for anything else, any other kinds of material while you're at that home?
It could be physical evidence as well as various types of trace materials if needed.
What is trace material?
Trace materials, it can be considered paint, glass, hairs, and fibers.
So where did you begin your work that day?
I began work in the kitchen area on the first floor.
And just generally, how do you determine what you're looking for?
I will speak with the detectives on scene to get a general guideline of what type of investigation this is. Following that, I will make a general test plan for the scene that I am at before testing.
So what were your observations of the kitchen area?
It was clean overall. When looking through the kitchen, we did find a couple bottles of hydrogen peroxide as well as a knife in a kitchen cabinet above the refrigerator.
Okay. This point, I would like to place into evidence when it's already been marked as Exhibit 201, that being SLD 7597. And I would ask to publish that for the jury.
All right. And what is SLD 7597?
Exhibit 201, that being the area that he's discussing in the kitchen, the hydrogen peroxide.
Just a photo of that?
Yes.
All right.
Is this that area that you're talking about?
Yes, it is.
And I'd next ask to, you also described a knife, correct?
Yes.
I'd next ask to show Exhibit 202, that being SLD 7606, being a knife, Your Honor, previously marked as Exhibit 202, and to publish that for the jury.
You may.
And Mr. Sheehan, do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And then more specifically, I'd like to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 203, SLD 7610, which is more specifically a knife. May I publish that for the jury, Your Honor?
You may.
Is that the knife you're referring to?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Mr. Sheehan, what kind of testing did you do?
I performed a screening test for blood on the blade of the knife.
And can you describe what the screening test for blood is?
The screening test is a two-step color test where a small portion of question sample is put onto a test swab. And after that, two chemicals are added to this test swab. If there's a bright pink color change, the test is positive. And if there's no color change or to something other than that pink color, the test is negative.
And what were the results?
The screening test for blood was positive on this blade.
And did you perform the screening test anyplace else?
Yes.
And where else did you perform that?
As on the hydrogen peroxide bottles as well as on the kitchen sink area.
And what were the results that you found for the kitchen sink and the hydrogen peroxide bottles?
On all of the bottles as well as the sink knobs, the sink basin, and the sink drain had all screened negative for blood.
And what can cause positive results besides human blood?
Various types of food materials, such as vegetables, as well as various types of legumes.
Did you test any other areas in the kitchen?
No.
Did you test inside of the dishwasher?
I did not.
Why did you not test inside the dishwasher?
The nature of a dishwasher is to sanitize anything that is inside with extreme temperature, chemicals, and water. I felt that it wasn't necessary to test on the inside due to those conditions.
Besides the areas that you've already discussed, what other areas did you test on the ground floor of 516 Chief Justice Cushing Highway?
There was also a half bathroom that I examined.
And what did you examine in the half bathroom?
There was a washing machine and a dryer, as well as a sink.
Okay. And what were your results?
A screening test for blood was negative on the interior of the dryer and washing machine, as well as on the sink knobs, the sink basin, and drain.
And did you test anything else on that floor?
No.
And then where did you go?
To the second floor bathrooms.
Okay. And did you also go into the bathroom, to the basement area?
I did.
Okay. And did you do testing in the basement area?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So I want to move to the basement for a moment. I'd like to show what's been previously marked as Exhibit 34. May I publish that to the jury?
You may.
Thank you. Can you tell me what this is?
This is the door in the kitchen leading down to the basement.
And then I'd like to show what's been previously marked as Exhibit 35. May I publish that to the jury?
You may.
Thank you. And what is this?
This is the stairwell leading to the basement.
May I publish Exhibit 36, please?
Yes.
And can you tell me what this is?
So if you were standing at the bottom of the stairs looking back up towards the kitchen, this area would be to the left.
And may I publish Exhibit 37, please?
Yes.
And what is this area?
The same if you were to stand at the bottom of the stairs looking towards the kitchen. This area is to the right.
I'd next like to show what's now being marked as Exhibit 204, Exhibit 7, SLD 7476, which is a blank area in the basement. May I publish that, Your Honor?
You may.
Can you please tell me about this area?
This area was in the back right corner of the basement, if you were to, again, stand at the bottom of the stairs. In this area, there were several stains that I observed for testing.
And do you recognize those white marks on the floor?
Yes, I do.
And why do you recognize those?
That is small pieces of scale tape that I had put down next to the stains that I wanted to test.
And did you label those?
Yes, I did.
Ms. Gilman, can I ask that you focus in on those, please? And can you tell me, Mr. Sheehan, what those are?
These are stains B, C, D, and E. Stain A is upwards and to the right. These are purple stains that I observed for testing.
Thank you. I'd now like to go to the next exhibit, which has been previously marked as Exhibit 205. SLD 7479, which is the ceiling of the basement. May I publish that, Your Honor?
You may.
Can you tell me about this, Mr. Sheehan?
This is the area of ceiling directly above that small area in the basement.
So, what type of testing did you do on the areas that were A through G, the testing that you had shown us through the markers?
On stains A through E, I did the screening tests that I talked about earlier, and all of those results on A through E were positive for blood.
And that was the same kind of screening test that you described previously to us?
Yes.
I'd now like to show what's been marked as Exhibit 206, SLD 2482. This is Exhibit A. May this be published?
Yes.
Do you recognize this?
Yes, this is Stain A.
And this is something you previously explained to us?
Yes.
And was this one of the areas that you tested?
Yes.
And was this positive?
Yes, it was.
And was this done, how did you learn that this was positive?
By doing the screening test.
I'd next like to go to Exhibit 207, that being 7487, this being closer up of the purple stains. I'd ask that this be published.
You may.
Thank you. Do you recognize this, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes, I do.
And if I could ask you to zoom in, Ms. Gilman. And can you tell me what you see in B?
Stain B is the purple staining that I observed for testing.
Thank you. Could you go to C, Ms. Gilman? And can you tell me what you see there?
This is stain C for testing.
Thank you. If you could go to D, Ms. Gilman? And can you tell me what you see there?
This is stain D.
And could you go to E, Ms. Gilman? And Mr. Sheehan, could you tell me what you see there, please?
And this is stain E.
Thank you. If we could now go to what's been marked as Exhibit 208-7536. And I'd ask, and this is the stair. I'd ask that this be published for the jury.
You may.
Thank you. Can you tell me what this is specifically?
This is the bottom step in the basement. The bottom step was broken.
And specifically, what do you see with your writing on it?
On the right side of the broken piece of stairs, there was an additional purple stain. I labeled it as stain F.
And if you could zoom in on that, Ms. Gilman. And is that what you're referring to, Mr. Sheehan?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Gilman, I'd ask that you now show Exhibit 38. And Mr. Sheehan, what is Exhibit 38?
This is their stairwell leading to the kitchen with a support beam directly below it.
Below it or behind it?
Behind it.
Okay. And that support beam is significant, isn't that right?
Yes.
And why is that support beam significant?
There was an additional stain, as I labeled it as stain G, that was on the base of the support beam.
Your Honor, I'd next ask that we publish Exhibit 209, which is been previously marked, and it's 7556, and that is stain G.
You may publish it.
Thank you. And what is this?
This is a close-up of stain G.
And so I want to be clear. What type of testing did you do for A through G?
The screening test for the presence of blood.
And what results did you get in A through G?
In A through G, all stains had screened positive for blood.
And how did you identify those stains?
Visually.
And when you say visually, what color were they?
All of these stains were purple in color.
And why were they purple?
The crime scene services section during the scene exam was using a chemical called LCV, and this chemical leaves behind a purple residue and is known to turn potential blood stains to the color of purple.
And when had crime scene services used that chemical?
Earlier in the day during the scene exam.
Was that before you began to go into the basement?
Crime scene services section uses it for their scene examinations.
And how does LCV impact your testing?
At the scene, LCV does not have an impact. However, in the lab, it is known to hinder the confirmatory test for blood.
What does that mean?
The confirmatory test is done as a second test on stains in areas that had screened positive for blood. As a result, we can confirm the presence of blood. And this LCV chemical is known to, even on positive samples, give a negative result.
So how do you compensate for that in the lab?
In the lab, even if a stain has tested negative for blood, a sample would still be prepared for DNA testing.
So what do you do with a stain once it has screened positive for blood?
The stain itself would be transferred onto a set of swabs for collection and transported to the lab for analysis.
And how is that done? What is a swab?
The swabs are very similar to almost like a Q-tip on a wooden stick, and each sample is packaged in its own manila envelope and then stored in its own container.
So leaving, do you need a second? You okay?
Yep.
Leaving the basement, can you please describe the second floor of the home?
In the second floor, I examined the two bathrooms, which included a master bathroom from one side of the house and a secondary bathroom to the left.
Okay. And what areas did you test on the second floor?
Both of the sinks as well as the showers. There was also a pair of black and blue cleaning squeegees.
Okay. So did you test the drains and the basins?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And how did you do that testing?
The screening test was also the same one that I have been using throughout the day.
And what were your results?
All of these areas had screened negative for blood.
And what time do you think you left the house at 516 Chief Justice Cushing Highway in Cohasset?
Approximately 4:45 in the afternoon.
And were you done with all of your testing?
I was not.
So what happened to the house?
At the end of the day, the decision was made to secure the house, and we would return the next day to continue our exams.
And did you return to 516 Chief Justice Cushing Highway?
Yes.
And when was that?
The following day on January 9th.
And where did you start on January 9th of 2023?
On the second floor in the front left bedroom.
Okay. And what observations did you make to the front left bedroom?
The bedroom itself was clean overall, aside from a pile of clothing on the floor. I had also noted an area of, it seems like a white residue, and in an area that the varnish on the floor appeared to have been removed.
At this time, I would like to show what's been previously marked as Exhibit 210, which is 7765, that bedroom that Mr. Sheehan just described, and publish it for the jury.
You may.
Thank you. Mr. Sheehan, can you describe what you were talking about with the white residue and the varnish, please?
On the area on the floor directly above the MSP placard number 10 and to the bottom right of the pile of clothing is the white residue on the floor.
Is the white residue that you're discussing?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the other area that you were discussing?
It was that same area, the white residue, and that same area appeared the varnish on the floor looked like it had been removed.
And how was the varnish flooring on the for the rest of the room?
It still had a glossy, shiny coat to it.
Were there any other varnish issues?
Not that I recall.
And did you do any testing in this room?
I did.
And where did you do testing?
Testing was on two additional red-brown stains that I had observed on one of the window curtains, as well as on the purple stain noted with MSP placard number 8.
And what were your what kind of testing did you do?
The screening test for blood.
And what were your results?
On these stains, I labeled them as stains H and I, as well as MSP placard number 8, were all negative.
And H and I were the windows?
Yes.
Okay. And did you go back to the room later?
Later on, yes.
Okay. And why did you go back to that room?
At that time, the decision was made to the crime scene services section was going to remove a portion of the floor. So I removed myself from that area so they could remove the flooring.
And did you direct them to remove the flooring?
No.
And so did you go back after that was done to look at the room?
Yes.
Okay. And at this time, Your Honor, I would like to show Exhibit 211, which has been previously marked, and that is 7808. And I would ask to publish that with the flooring removed.
May?
Thank you. Do you recognize this?
Yes.
And is this the area you're talking about that was removed by crime scene services?
Yes.
Okay. And did you do further testing?
I did not.
Why not?
There was no visible staining for testing after the crime scene services section had done their exam.
So while crime scene services worked on the floor, what did you do at that time?
I returned to the basement for a second exam.
Why did you return to the basement?
It's not often where I get to re-examine an area that I had already examined, so I wanted to go back to see if I had missed anything.
And what, if anything, were you looking for?
Potential blood stains.
And where did you first go?
At the top of the stairs, looking down, I observed a red-brown stain that I had labeled as stain J on the wall of the stairwell directly into the doorway.
At this time, Your Honor, I'd ask to publish exhibit, which has been previously marked as 212. That would be 7793, that being stain J.
You may.
Do you recognize this?
Yes, this is the area of stain J.
Ms. Gilman, can you zoom in just a little bit, please? Thank you. And where is stain J?
Stain J is to the right of the scale. It is not visible in this photo.
Okay. And what did you do with the stain?
I did the screening test for the presence of blood.
And what were the results of the screening test?
The screening test was negative.
And then where did you go?
I continued down to the basement.
Okay. And where did you go in the basement?
I returned to an area of black trash bags, as well as that back right section that I had examined the day before.
At this time, I would ask to publish Exhibit 213, 7797, the area that Mr. Sheehan just described with the black trash bags.
You may.
Do you recognize this area?
Yes, I do.
And what is this area that you're talking about?
This is an area in the basement that was a little to the left of the area that I examined the day before, towards the back wall.
And I would also ask to publish Exhibit 214-7802, which is a close-up of that area.
You may.
Thank you. What is this area?
This is the stain identified as stain K.
And what testing did you do of stain K?
I did the screening test for the presence of blood.
And what was the results of that?
The result was positive.
And what did you then collect?
A sample using a set of swabs was collected from the stain.
Did you collect anything else from the home that day?
That day, no.
Thank you. So what did you do with the swabs that you collected from the house at 516 Chief Justice Cushing Highway in Cohasset on January 8th and 9th of 2023?
I had brought these swabs back along with the knife from above the refrigerator back to the lab to be submitted.
For what?
For DNA analysis.
And what did you do with the swabs at the lab once you got there?
The swabs were submitted into our computer system called LIMS.
And were they given a number?
Yes.
And what's the lab number that they were given?
The lab number for the case was 23-00596.
And is that a unique lab number for this case?
Yes.
And how is the lab number kept?
The lab number is kept identified for each individual case in our computer system.
So aside from the collection of evidence at the house, did you then do further work at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab on this case?
Yes, I did.
And what procedure do you follow to ensure that you prevent contamination?
In the lab, I work on one item at a time, and in between items of evidence, I will use bleach to clean my work area and any tools that I'm using, and as well as wearing PPE, which would include gloves, a mask, and a lab coat.
How do you keep your actual station clean, and what do you use on your actual station?
Bleach.
And why do you use bleach?
Bleach is known to destroy DNA.
Do you use any kind of paper on your station?
We use a large piece of paper, which we call a butcher paper.
Did you do lab work on the items you brought back from 516 Chief Justice Cushing Highway alone, or did you do lab work on other items as well?
Other items as well.
So what was the first item that you examined in this case?
Item number 1-1.
And what was item 1-1?
This was a set of swabs from red-brown stain A in the basement.
And what testing was done?
I did a confirmatory test to confirm the presence of blood.
And how does that confirmatory test work?
The test itself is very similar to a pregnancy test, where a small amount of sample is put into a test solution, and then that test solution is put onto a test card. After a period of 10 minutes, if there's one line, the test is negative. If there's two lines, the test is positive.
And what was the result?
Confirming the presence of blood was negative.
So what was done with this item?
In this particular case, because the LCV chemical was used at the crime scene and the stains were purple, I preserved the sample for DNA testing as item number 1-1.1.
So that was the number that it was given for DNA?
Yes.
Okay. And did you assign any of that sample for DNA testing?
Yes, I did.
And was that the one that you assigned?
Yes, 1-1.1.
And did you examine item 1-8, the knife from the kitchen?
Yes, I did.
And what testing was done?
I did not do any further testing. I did a collection for potential DNA analysis.
Okay, why didn't you do any testing?
In order for a complete lab exam to be done on an item, there needs to be a visible stain in order to have enough testing for the confirmatory test as well as DNA testing. In this particular case, because there was no visible staining on the blade, the sample needs to be treated as something called quantity limited or QLIM, where the entire sample needs to be used for DNA testing.
So what was done with this item?
A sample was collected from the knife blade as well as from the handle.
And was it preserved for DNA testing?
Yes.
Okay. And why was that preserved?
To answer any type of forensic questions.
I want to ask you about item 5-1, which was swab Kay from the basement floor?
Correct.
What testing did you do on swab Kay from the basement floor?
I did a confirmatory test for the presence of blood.
And what was the result of the confirmatory test?
The confirmatory test was positive, confirming the presence of blood.
And I'm sorry, I should have shown you Exhibit 215, Exhibit Image 1205, which is the knife. May I publish that?
May.
So this was the knife that you just told us about, that you was Q-Lim.
Yes.
Thank you. And now I'd ask to show Exhibit 216, Image 1066, which is the swab K.
You may.
Thank you. This is the swab that you described?
Yes.
Thank you. And then you said that it was positive. And I'd ask next to show Exhibit 217, Image 1067, which is the positive test.
You may.
Thank you. This is that, for lack of a better term, like pregnancy test that you described to us earlier?
Correct.
And this is how you know if the test results are positive. Is that right?
Yes.
So, when you're saying that this is indicating positive for human blood, why are you saying that it's indicating positive for human blood?
The test itself, while it does confirm the presence of blood, there are other types of animal blood that will give a positive result, which include ferret blood as well as various types of primates.
So why did you not do the screening test for the swab?
The screening test was done at the crime scene, at the house, during the original collection of the sample.
And so what did you do with this sample?
The sample was preserved for DNA testing and given item number 5-1.1.
And was this assigned for DNA testing?
Yes.
And what was item 7-9?
7-9 was a pair of tin snips. 7-9 was a pair of tin snips.
At this time, I would ask to publish Exhibit 218, Image 1081, from the lab, the tin snips.
You may.
And Mr. Sheehan, you recognize these photos, correct?
Yes.
And why do you recognize these photos?
These are the photos that I took in the lab of the items. They have the case number, my initials, the item number, and the date I worked on them.
And what testing did you do?
There was no visible staining on the blades, so I did the screening test for blood, and the on the blades was positive.
And why didn't you do the confirmatory testing?
There were no visible stains to do further testing.
So it's the same reason that you gave us before?
Yes, as a QLIM sample.
Thank you. And you said that this was positive for blood?
The blades had screened positive.
And what was done with this item?
A sample was preserved from the blades as well as from the handle.
And what was 7-10?
7-10 was a hacksaw.
I would ask to publish Exhibit 219, Image 1085.
That's the image of the hacksaw?
I'm sorry. Yes, Your Honor. It's the image of the hacksaw.
You may publish it.
And what is... What tests did you do on the hacksaw?
There were three areas that identified for potential testing on it seemed like a tannish brown debris. The first one was on area A, which was on the blade at the end, on the opposite side from the handle. Area B was on the frame next to the handle, and area C was on the blade where it attaches to the frame adjacent to the handle.
And what testing for all of those areas?
I did the screening test for the presence of blood, followed by the confirmatory test for blood.
And what were the results on those three areas?
On all three areas, A, B, and C, the tests were positive, confirming the presence of blood.
What did you then do?
Samples were preserved from each individual area, A, B, and C, as well as from the handle.
What numbers were the samples given?
The sample that I had assigned for DNA testing was from stain C, which was 7-10.3.1, as well as a sample from the handle, which was 7-10.4.1.
I'd next like to talk about 7-11, the hammer. I'd like to show you Exhibit 2020 and publish it, that being image 1092, that being the hammer.
You may show that.
Mr. Sheehan, what test did you do on the hammer?
I did the screening test for blood on the hammer head and face area.
What were the results?
Screening test for blood was positive on the hammer face.
And what did you do?
Samples were preserved from the hammer face as well as from the handle.
And why did you only do the screening test here?
There was no visible staining on the hammerhead.
So am I correct in assuming that when you only do the screening test and not the confirmatory test, it is always going to be for that same reason?
Yes.
Meaning I don't need to keep asking you the same question?
Correct.
7-13, the blades and frame from the hatchet, that being Exhibit 221, image 1099. Could we please publish that for the jury, Your Honor?
Okay.
What observations did you make of this hatchet?
There was no visible staining. However, on the hatchet head, I did note some sort of greasy and oil-like substance.
Why is that significant to you?
In my experience, whenever a cutting instrument is used on an individual, it can leave behind this greasy and oily substance, which is indicative of fatty tissues.
Objection.
Overall.
What testing did you do?
I did the screening test for the presence of blood on the hatchet head.
What were the results?
Now, the screening test was positive.
And then what did you do?
A sample was preserved from the hatchet head as well as from the handle. The hatchet head was given sample number 7-13.1, and from the handle was 7-13.2.1.
And were any of these assigned for DNA testing?
Yes.
Both of those?
Yes.
I'd next like to discuss 7-14, the Craftsman shears, and I'd be referring and asked to publish Exhibit 222, that being image 1103.
May.
What testing was done, Mr. Sheehan?
The screening test for blood on the blades and frame of the shears.
And what were the results?
The screening test was positive in this area.
And what was done?
The sample was preserved for potential DNA testing as well as a sample from the handle.
I'd next like to ask you about 7-18, the Tyvek booties. I'd like to refer and publish Exhibit 223, Image 1223, and publish for the jury the Tyvek booties.
You may.
Can you tell me what's in this picture?
This is a picture of one of the booties, a part of item number 7-18.
How many booties were there?
There were four in total.
Okay. And what else is in this picture?
It appears to be some sort of insulation as well as painter's tape.
And what does this picture show? Is it everything or just an example or something else?
Since this item was submitted as four booties, I took an individual picture of how they were packaged separately so that I could keep track of each individual one.
And is that why there's a number two at the bottom of that photo?
Yes.
And what did you do to this?
I performed the screening test for blood.
And what were the results?
All of the testing was negative.
Moving on to 7-20, the sample from the plastic painter's sheets. How many painter's sheets were there?
If I recall correctly, there was five.
Okay. And was each painter's sheet given its own number?
They were originally submitted to the lab all as item number 7-20. And during the fingerprint process, the analyst had removed and given each sheet its own sub number under 720. The one I examined was 7-20.5.
More continuous coverage in the trial of Brian Walsh from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.